Thanks you every for you. Sing it unto him now. Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living, will you? Thanks you every before you. Amen and amen and amen. Just make me a sanctuary for the Lord. That's my desire, and it's you. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelation 3:14. And then we'll read Daniel 3. And Matthew 16. Revelation 3:14, Daniel 3, Matthew 16. Just remember now, the Lord willing, we'll be having Sunday of the 16th, we'll be having our gathering together here, you know, have a morning service and then have our dinner together, as we always do around Christmas time, and then fellowship in the afternoon. So remember that and just pray the Lord would bless and be with us. That's on the 16th. And the Lord willing, Brother Jewel Forney will be with us on the 19th. That's on Wednesday. So just remember these announcements. I don't know of any other announcements that I'm missing. I generally do, but just remember that. So let's pray before we read our scripture. Father, we thank you. We love you. We honor you. We praise your great name, because there's none other name given where we might be saved. What a wonderful name it is to know the name of Jesus. Lord, we praise you and we honor you this day. We ask you to come among us as we read your word. You come and speak to our hearts, because we realize that we stand in an awful position, Lord, to be able to try to speak for you is a wonderful thing, but to stand in the position to speak it, then it can be a horrible place, because if we don't speak it correctly, then we will have to face you about it. We ask you to come and help us now and guide us and direct our thoughts. May our hearts and our lives be centered on you. And Lord, just reach down and touch each one. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered from destruction. We thank you. Guide each one now in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 3:14, this is the message to this age. So we read it. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Right. Now go to Daniel 3, verse 24 and verse 25. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. All right, Matthew 16, very familiar scripture with all of us. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto him, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. We have a lot of quotes to be give out, so they'll be passing them out to you. Make sure you hang on to them for this afternoon, because I'm sure we won't get all the way to the point that I want to this afternoon. So just do that. And Wade, you may have to turn the air conditioner. We just run the fan for a while, and it may be running. I don't know. So check it. Number three, those are back there. There's not. I didn't bring it out. I gave you those, 1, 2, 3, 4, on that. It's about the sonship, so that way you'll know which one it is. Now, we've been trying for a while to speak about some things, and today I want to just try to take my time if I can, and I want to speak on something that is very, very important unto us, and that's speaking on one true and living God. You say, well, we've been on that for many, many years. Well, amen. If we're around here for 20 more, we'll be on it 20 more. Because I'd like to know how you can exhaust the eternal word. See? And I know basically everybody, their thoughts is, you know, we get the word, and then that's it. But there's a couple of quotes that I gave you there from the prophet that they would be a message of cheer down through the endless ages after this world is over. You know. Now, what is that going to be? We're going to glory hallelujah for 10 billion years, and then we're going to hallelujah glory for the next 10 billion. What are we going to do for next? Because it's going to be an eternity. How can you exhaust an eternal word, and God is His word? How can we in this world? Now, I'm making a statement that I believe. I believe what we get in this world is just enough to be able to take us in a rapture, a change, and give us a foundation to be able to where that we can actually look straight and see Almighty God. And not see a pillar of fire over here, and a Holy Ghost over here, and a Son down here, and a Father over there. And no, we're going to see, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, what's wrong with us is the carnality of the mind. We can't look and see. So when all of this is gone, then we'll be able to see Him, and you're not going to be through with the Word. Because I gave you another quote in there. I think it's Mark of the Beast. That you're not going to exalt the Word, so don't worry about it. Don't think that you're going to get everything here, and then when we get there, you're just going to sit and play a harp or something down through eternity. It's going to be an eternal partaking of the revelation of God. It'll be when the carnality of our mind is gone. See, you know, we'll be there. We'll be in the body like unto His glorious body, and we won't have no problems. It won't be that we'll be sitting wondering what we're going to have for lunch, or what the kids are doing, or what's going on here, or they're distracting me because they're walking up and down through the church now, passing out the things, the tracks, you know. It's just, see, it won't be that way. It'll be an eternal partaking of the Word of God, the prophet said. So now I'm going to believe him. All right? See, because how could you completely, totally understand all of God in a human element? I'm talking about while you're in a human element. See? So then it won't be any problem with me to say this statement unto you. And I know that I'm going to make statements today that are going to be totally misunderstood by a lot of people, but listen to the statement. And then check it out and see if it's right. See if the prophet said it. I'm like Brother Richard Wilson. He's quoted it a good many times, you know, lately. People will say to you, well, Brother Branham said this over here, and Brother Branham said this over here. Now, which one do you want? I want both of them because it's going to bring a revelation. Without both of them, you're not going to get the revelation. I don't care how much you think it's contrary. I'm not talking about White Horse Rider now and when he didn't understand, you know, and when he said the White Horse Rider was the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about that. I've got some quotes in here that Brother Branham used it. Josiah gets on to me sometimes when I use little words, you know, because he said that I shouldn't say that. But I gave you a couple on on the sonship where Brother Brown said, I'm not a dummy. You know, I just noticed that as I was running off. He said, I'm not a dummy. You know, because you're talking about the eternal sonship. He said, how could that be? But see, now I know the prophet and what he said. But this message today, and it may even take Wednesday or whatever to get it done, it doesn't matter to me. I just want something to get to you to have an understanding. Because if there is a wedge, the prophet said, and if you fall off on either side of the wedge, you miss it. Now you know what a wedge is. It doesn't matter if it's a wooden wedge or what kind it is. They're generally pretty sharp right on the edge. You know, because that makes it start its point of breaking, even in a wedge to drive in a block of wood, you know, to bust it. And it's very, very close then. So we got to set on the razor edge. I said set on the razor edge now. Not go on neither side and not hang off on either side. Because if it's the revelation don't fit right on the edge, then we don't have the revelation. It'll fall off on one side. We're a Trinity. It'll fall off on the other side. We're a oneness. All right. See, then that would miss the whole thing. And see, now, watch these statements. Brother Brown said, I don't believe in eternal sonship. He said, because sons have a beginning. But I believe in eternal Godhead. See, then eternal Godhead is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Isn't that eternal God? Isn't that what it takes to make the Godhead? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Well, then we better have the understanding in the true form. See, we say, well, we understand it now. All it is just one person playing many parts of a play. And we say, we understand. Well, be careful, because one person playing many parts can be oneness. I pause for you to think, and others that are listening, to think about it. So you can fall on either side of the edge and miss it. Right. Now, this statement Brother Branham made, and people will say, well, Brother Dale's correcting that. No, I'm not. I'm trying to make an understanding where you can understand what he's saying. He said all God was, he poured into Christ. And all Christ into the church to take her back to the Garden of Eden. Well, to take that without having a revelation of what is being said, you're doing... I need somebody to bring me. I'll need it. Brother Harris, would you go down and get me about 5 cups? Because I'm going to need them today. And we were planning on just, you know, just paper cups. It'd be fine. But see, we say like this. See, we say all God was poured into Christ. So you think that's the revelation of one God. But now you just done away with any existence of God other than in Christ. So now where's your revelation? So your oneness. Then you say all Christ was poured into the church. Now you know how you have no existence of Christ other than what is in the church. He said, well, Brother Randall said that. Amen. Because he knows what he's talking about. But you see what I'm talking about? You're doing away. Don't do away. Now in the message today you'll see that I'm not doing away with anything. What I'm trying to do is make a circle from here with everything in God before the world, and bring it right back around in a circle back to connect that circle together to where it'll be the same Almighty God in all of His manifestations. And doing all of that, He gains no attributes. He doesn't gain attributes because He come into the world. He had those attributes. So it's all going to be there. Now, you that wasn't at the Bible study last night, you missed what we were talking about, because the question was asked, and I spent about an hour and a half, something like that, talking about this very thing. So some of you that were here at the Bible, you can go to sleep. The rest of you got to stay awake. But now listen. So you say, well, I understand. All God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ poured into the church. Well, that's it. All means all, brother. I've heard sermons on the word A-L-L. All means all. All means all now. Don't you agree? All means all. Now, haven't you? But I just illustrated all to you. All God in Christ, you're doing away with God. You only have what's in Christ. You've done away totally with any existence of anything, and you're out of the message. Because the prophet said, and we'll get to quotes, he said part of God went out, called the Son. Then we go into what part? Was it his leg? Was it his arm? Was it his brain? Was it his... See how carnal you get? But you see, if you say all God in Christ, and then you say all of Christ in the church, you don't have no God nowhere except what's living in you. You don't have a father to pray to, because your father's not in heaven. No, it's in me. Well, then you're saying you're God. And there is no Jesus, there is no Father. See, you've just done away with the whole Godhead and put it in you. And when the Bible says, in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily, where's that at? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost makes the Godhead. See, our thinking is Father and Holy Ghost were poured into Son. That ain't even Scripture. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost was poured into the flesh. Because in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Who? In Jesus, the flesh. Nobody else can do that. But he could, because God created him. And see, then you're staying away from oneness, because you can have an association or a connecting link between us and heaven and whatever, you know. And just like we were talking about last night, and some of them brought it up this way. God is up in the heaven right now arguing with the devil, because he's wanting to get a hold of you. That's what the Bible says. He's in the presence of God trying to get a hold of you, trying to get permission to come and get a hold of you. But yet if he's all in you, then how could he be up with Satan? Oh, it's in here. Now, don't put Satan and God in the soul together, because God, the Bible says, won't dwell in an unclean vessel. Don't do that now. See, you're going off the wedge. See? You're missing the true revelation of one true and living God. Right, now, I gave them to you. If we don't get to them to read them, I gave you a whole bunch of quotes where Brother Brown said, I don't believe in eternal sonship. He said, all sons have a beginning. Then he speaks of the Son of God being the Logos that went out of God in the beginning. Being Almighty God. Called a Son. Now what's your understanding? Then how can you comprehend it and bring it all the way around and bring it back and connect together and have the same identical God without any extra attributes, without anything added, and bring it right to the revelation? Well, Brother Dale, you're just so smart. You're so... No. Like a man come here one time and preached a message years ago, and he kept on preaching it. I thought, well, what's he preaching on that about? He preached about an hour and a half on Feed My Sheep. You know, I thought it was a good message. You know, Feed My Sheep. But I thought, now he's got a point that he's trying to get across. And at that time, he and his family was coming here at least one service on Sunday. They generally go home in the afternoon. But so finally, about 4 or 5 years later, we were talking in a little group of people, and he said, yeah, Brother Dale, that's why you're just so much of an intellectual. You're so intellect. I said, well, I didn't know it was, but, you know. He said, that's what I tried to do when I come to your church and preach. I said, what did you try to do? What was you trying to preach? I mean, tell me. He said, when I preached about feed my sheep. I said, yeah, I remember the service you preached on feed my sheep. It's a good message. I enjoyed it. But what's your point? He said, well, I was telling you to quit preaching them deep things and preach to my children. Well, he was the one that took his children away from the church. Why didn't he preach to them? See, my problem is not with the children in this church. My problem is with you parents. Because you parents are destroying your children and blaming me. You're saying that I'm preaching so deep my children can't understand it. Why don't you take it up and explain it? Oh. Why don't you explain it to them? What is being talked about? No, you're sitting in your home talking about how it's so deep and your children are sitting listening to you and you're poisoning their mind against me. You handle that. You deal with it. I'm just trying my best to preach what I can. And I pray, just like I told the Lord the other day, I said, God, some way tell me I'm wrong. Well, everybody else has told you wrong. Yeah, but God ain't told me I was wrong. Until he tells me I'm wrong, I keep right on going. Right down the road, because I've been told before by professionals I was wrong. I call them professionals because they were great men. But I can't follow what anybody else says. I follow what God says. And that's not throwing no stones back at nobody. I'm just telling it like it is. I don't see anything no more simple than one true and living God.
Amen. Right.
You cannot be born again without a revelation. Is that what the prophet said?
Right.
What is the revelation of?
Right.
There's only one revelation in the Bible.
Amen. Right.
There's only one revelation, that's one true and living God. Nothing else. The rest of it is related to that. The revelation is one true and living God. And if you can see that one true and living God, then you can get born again. You can't be born again by me beating on to you about how long your dress is or your hair or whatever. And see, that's where the trouble is. Because the parents are the ones that's cutting their hair and painting their face in front of their children and want their kids saved. You're a hypocrite. Why don't you get born again? I know I get stern when I say like that, but why not? Then you blame me because I don't preach little bitty sermons. I sit down and talk with your children and find out they know more than you do. What's wrong then? Plain. Don't have to worry about it. You're the one that's destroying your families and blaming me. That's all right. That's the job. My job is to preach what I can to you to try to save you. And I can't preach nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. One true and living God. Because that's all there is. Yeah, but Brother Dale, I got saved when a fellow was preaching about hair and dress. Now you got condemned about your way you were living. You didn't get saved with hair and dress. You got saved by revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what your prophet said. He said you can only be saved by revelation. But see, we think, yeah, we come to church because the preacher, he'll beat on us. We don't. That don't save you. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ what's going to save you. And the most illiterate person, the prophet said, Christ the mystery of God revealed, the most illiterate person can receive a revelation from Jesus Christ. And what about you and I? Maybe we are a bunch of dummies then. But listen, church, I'm trying to get the revelation to you to where you can see and then you won't be tied up with all of this, you know. Well, brother so-and-so says all God was he poured into Christ. Well, won't you call him, tell him he's a oneness. Then tell him, come see me about it and I'll explain it to him. Yeah, but no, all means all. Well, if all means all, I just illustrated it. If all means all, then you just pour all of God over into Christ and you got no more God left, you just got Christ. Who's in heaven right now talking to the devil because I thought Christ was in you by the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
I thought you had Father, Son, and Holy Ghost living in you by the new birth.
Amen.
Then you're going to run into where the quotes I gave you about where the prophet said, and we'll read them when we get to it, where he says and talks about a message down through the endless ages of an eternal partaking of God's Word.
Right.
You're not going to exhaust God's Word.
Amen.
We're just going to make the circle and tie it back together.
Right.
And remember, when the circle started, all the attributes was there. When you make the circle and come back, you bring all the attributes to the same place.
Right.
And when you do, it'll be over with. That's what the rapture is going to be.
Right.
Because the rapture is in a circle, right? When you make the circle, it'll be over with.
Right.
When it's revealed to us, it'll be over with. But all right, now let's get on to it. We went through Wednesday talking about how the Son of God, now this is not, I am not, you understand what the word not means? Nowhere today will we, if I talk about the flesh, I will say the flesh.
Amen.
I will be talking about the human body we call Jesus. I will tell you that's what I'm talking about. But outside of that, now this is before the foundation of the world. And then coming down to creating of the world. All right, and we'll go as slow as we can and try to bring it. But see, we read it Wednesday night. Where in Genesis 1:1 it says God created the world. Exodus 20:11 said the Lord created the world and all in 6 days. John 1:1-3 talks about the Word being the Creator. Colossians 1:15-17 talks about the Son being the Creator. Hebrews 1:1-3 talks about the Son being the Creator. Ephesians 3:9 says that He created all things by Jesus Christ. All right. Then we went to, and I gave it back over again, to where that Brother Branham says on page 336 of the Church Age book. So that was where we was at. You know. So you can read it if you'd like, some of you that wasn't here. But you read it. And he says, most people think, multitudes, most people, see, think. Now, because of the scripture, I just read you. See, in the Baptist church, this Bible didn't change when I left the Baptist and come to the message. When I was in the Baptist, I knew Jesus Christ created all things. I just didn't understand. The Bible said it. I read it. Didn't you read it before you come in the message? You know? Well, no, I didn't. No, you mean you didn't understand it when you till you come in the message. Surely you read it, didn't you? Or was you like, I believe it was Brother Tatum telling about that time when the Lord was dealing with him on water baptism, said he'd be reading through and he'd hit Acts 2:38 and he'd pass over that, you know, or Acts, or Matthew 28:19. He said, I'd turn over that because, see, it was condemning him. But then one day he had to face that scripture and read it. But you see, the Bible says God created, the Lord created, the Word created, the Son created, and Jesus Christ created. And then Peter in the scriptures we just read in Matthew said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now he wasn't talking about the human flesh. Sure, that was the Son in human flesh. Right? But that one that was in human flesh there had a beginning. The human flesh had a beginning. The human flesh had a time that it had to be made eternal. Jesus' body had to be made eternal. Your prophet explains it, so you argue with him. But see, the Son was the Creator. The human flesh didn't create anything. But the one that was within him was the very Creator from the beginning. Coming down. So then Brother Brown said it made most of the people think, multitudes of them, many of the people think, that God created Jesus and Jesus created everything else. Then they think, boy, that's really something, you know. Have you ever heard as I was telling them Wednesday, have you ever heard them explain how that the virgin birth took place? God the Father gave the seed to Mary, to the angel, the Holy Ghost, And the Holy Ghost came down and put it in Mary, and that was the virgin birth. See, God the Father had to give it to the Holy Ghost, let him deliver it. See? Now, that's what they think it is. But they're reading the Bible. As I said, I read the Bible. Didn't you read the Bible? I read all these scriptures before I come in the message about the Word and God and the Lord and all create, being the Creator. And I knew it was Jesus Christ because the Bible said it did. Alright? But you see, the problem was I had a second person involved. And by having a second person involved, I was looking at one doing the sending the other one or something. And it didn't work. Because the prophet said now, watch him, the beginning of the creation of God, this is page 336, Church Age Book, this is who the Lord Jesus says he is, but those words don't mean exactly as they sound to us. Just taking them the way they sound, that has made some people, in fact, multitudes of people, get the idea that Jesus was the first creation of God, making him lower than Godhead. Then this first creation created all the rest of the universe and whatsoever it contains. By reading those scriptures, they think that. But watch it. But that is not right. You know that doesn't line up with the rest of the Bible. The words are, he is the beginner or author of the creation of God. We know for a surety that Jesus is God, very God. He is the Creator. John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the one of whom it is said in Genesis 1. Now you're talking about Jesus, right? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Also it says in Exodus 20:11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all of them, and rested the seventh. There's no doubt that he is the Creator. He was the Creator of a finished physical creation. Surely we see what these words mean now. To have any other interpretation would mean that God created God. How could God be created when he himself is the Creator? So now he's explaining the scriptures that I said we were using to prove that Jesus was the Creator, but we were proving him to be the second person. And that God sat here and sent him down. Alright? See, then we think about it. We think, well, that's not right, so God came himself. Amen. But now how did he come? There's the thing. There's the razor edge. How did he come? If you bring it down one way, you fall off the edge. You'll be a Trinitarian. You bring it down the other way, you'll fall off the edge and be a oneness. Now, I'm trying my best to get something to you. And see, I know to a lot of you it's a dull thing because I've heard it so many times, I even know what he's going to say next. I'd be careful about that. You might not know what I'm going to say next. You might be surprised of what I'm fixing to say. Because the only way you can keep from being a Trinitarian is to line up with the Word of God. Right? The carnality of the mind, it's a revelation now, so. Only by revelation will we understand the one true and living God. Because if not, you're going to be a Trinity. And if not, you're going to be a oneness. Now the Trinity people like the Scriptures where, let us make man. See? Seems like two or three. There on the River Jordan, there's one up in heaven and one hearing a voice and all. Oh, they got it all figured out. Then the oneness, they like all of the scriptures where it says there was one sitting on the throne. And Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sin. That's the scriptures they like. Well, I like them all. Because without an understanding of all of them, you're not going to understand the one true and living God. Now we'll get to the one that is so misunderstood. See? So let's go to John 1. So now follow with me. And pray and think about it. See? We can quote this easily by heart. in the beginning. Now that was before anything. Alright? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now without that word with, the big man in this message said that's incorrect. The word with signifies to, you know, like with. One over here, with. You know. Signifies to. He's got a point. That's why you don't hear me argue so much about what a lot of people say. Because sometimes they got a point. And maybe it's a point we need. But I contend that if the word with is not in there, you're going to be a oneness. If you translated that, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. You said, I want to emphasize that, and the Word was God. No. You're oneness. Because you're one like your finger. But the word with signifies that there is something taking place. That you're dealing with more than one form. Now we're familiar with that word, amorphe, form, by which anything strikes the vision. Now, so then, who is this Son of God? And if he's a Son, he's not eternal. He has a beginning. He said, well, boy, you're really getting off now. Okay. I'll be glad to give you the service this afternoon, women or whoever, to let you explain it. But I'll do like I told them last night about the brother that we were talking one time, and I said, I want you to explain one God to me. And I said, now, but what I'm going to do, not to be contradictory, you know, dictatory or mean or arrogant, I'm just going to say, or no, it was on predestination. I said, you just go ahead and explain it. I said, but now I want you to understand what I'm going to do. When you cross yourself, in other words, when you say something here and you say something here, that's crossing what you're talking about, not just something you say that sounds different. I said, when you cross yourself, I'm going to raise my hand and I'm going to stop you and say, you just crossed yourself, so you don't have the revelation. He said, okay. He'd went about five words and I had my hand up. I'm not joking. Not being arrogant. I was trying my best to help him. It's like I went to a place one time and tried my best to dig a church out of polygamy. And wound up being an enemy until the man even forgot my name when I called him on the phone a few years later. But you see, I'll still do it. And by doing that, I'll become arrogant, hateful, and know-it-all and a smart aleck. But when we get in glory, you need to worry about it. Because when you walk up there and I stand there and see you walking up there because of what I preached to you, that's my crown. You won't be worried about it then. You won't be calling me a smart aleck then. You won't have any trouble giving credit to where it comes when that time comes. You don't now, but you won't then. All right. I'll just put it like this. There's a lot of you think you can do without me. I grin on that statement. Brother Dale, you think you're the one to lead us all through? No. But if I'm the one to lead you through, you ain't going to make it without me. Amen. Any problem with that? See, some of the young kids, some of the young ones back there are sitting there shaking their head, yes, and a lot of you are fired up like a... Because you don't agree with that. If God put me here and you're here, you're not going to do without me. Go ahead and find what you want to do.
Right.
I don't have any trouble. I just have me a good time. Because I know who I'm serving.
Right.
And I know who I'm talking to and who I'm talking about. But see, I don't believe the prophet said in eternal sonship. He said, well, that's only the Jesus. Is it? Is it only the human flesh man that he was talking about when he said he didn't believe in eternal sonship? Was he only talking about the man we call Jesus that he could say he had a beginning? Was that all he was talking about? When he explained about the Son being the first one that come out from the Father, show me there where he was ever trying to preach eternal sonship. He was preaching eternal Godship. He was preaching the revelation of understanding. But the Son had a beginning. If I could prove to you that by the Bible and the prophet's message that the Son had a beginning, and then prove to you that there will be a time that the sonship will be of... Now, I'm trying to find a word because, see, I'm not throwing away with it because you can't say to do away with the sonship. But the Son will become subject that God may be all in all. Now, if we don't go back to there, there'll be a time in glory that you won't see him as a pillar of fire up here and a halo over here and a son over here and a father over here. You're going to see Jesus and know exactly who he is. That's when your circle's made. And you'll know and realize you're there because of what he said. It's not sonship done away with, it's sonship brought back. Because every form that comes out of God, this is the whole statement of the day, every form that you see anywhere come out of God, anywhere in the journey of mankind, that will never become extinct. It will always exist because it'll make the circle and come right back because it was in him in the beginning. You understand what I'm saying? Don't do away with anything. You're not going to, I'm not in the message today. I won't be doing away with Father or Son or Holy Ghost or whatever. No, it'll be taking it through a circle and bringing it right back to where it is in the beginning. And when it does, then you wind up and have a revelation. All right? So now when I'm talking about the Logos, the Word, you can have a son. Now here's where the statement is so close. Listen, we don't believe in eternal sonship. Right?
Right?
Because sons have beginnings. Right? But I believe in a Son of God that can be eternal. Because you are what I'm talking about. Do you have eternal life today? You're a son of God with eternal life. You'll always be a son of God. That way we believe in a son of God being eternal, but not eternal sonship. Because sonship signifies something begins. And anything that has a beginning has to have an ending. But now in God, it wasn't God created a son. It was that that Word is who he is. So let's read the prophet now. Look at the message called Attitude, number 2 on your notes. Who is God? Attitude and who is God? 1958:15. And there that great space where no one can fathom in their mind beyond that, that great space, eternity, that's Jehovah God out there. And we're taught in the beginning that the Logos, or the Son of God, went out of God. So now the Son of God is not just 2,000 years ago. The Son of God was the first form of God to come out to do the creation. But see, most of our minds are locked, Son of God, 2,000 years ago, a body that came on earth. Unlock that mind. And listen to your prophet. The Son of God was the first form of God to come out to create. What else are you going to call it? See, I'm trying my best to get you to understand how that Jesus Christ could stand right here on earth. And in Him would dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, dwelling in human flesh. But yet He still prayed to the Father. Up in heaven. And the Father could be up in heaven talking to the devil. Am I right? While Jesus Christ was on earth with the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And yet God could be up in heaven talking to the devil. That's according to the Bible. But you see? So what was the first? See, we're taught in the beginning that the Logos, speech, word, or the Son of God went out of God. Now, I do not believe in eternal sonship. I'm just reading what he says. That's even radical to even mention such a thing, eternal sonship. How? He had an eternal sonship. Wait. It's even eternal sonship. How could he be a son? He had to have a beginning. So, he first was God, Jehovah, and out of him, let's just picture now as a little drama so you can get it. Let's see, coming out of space where there's nothing. Let's make it a little white light, like a mystic light, like a halo. And that was the Logos that went out of God in the beginning. That was the Son of God that came out of the bosom of the Father. That was what was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's John 1, right? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was God, and then out of God came the Logos, listen now, a part of God that went out. A part of God. Now the word part signifies not in a complete form, right? It's part of something. You're part of God by the new birth. Something took place. So he said a part of God. And he goes down through explaining on right below there, still in the same message, how that the Son of God, the Logos, he said, I could see him like a child playing before the door. The Son of God. Okay? Your next one is Hebrews chapter 1, 1957, 8:22. He's explaining it. Read the last paragraph. You read the rest of it. I give it to you. But just to show you what he's talking about. Now when these great lights went out, or great rays of spirit, love, peace, that's all there was, and that there wasn't no suffering, there wasn't no hate, no malice, it couldn't come from this fountain. That was Jehovah. That was Jehovah God. And now, as the theologians call it, a theophany went, theophany form, that which we call, was called in the scriptural, the Logos that went out of God. It's hard to explain, but it was a part of God. He goes right on down reading in the next paragraph, explaining the Logos was that. And then he says that Moses saw the back part of this man. In a theophany. He saw the Son of God in a theophany. The one that created all things. So now back before the world, don't think of just a little halo. That's what I want to tie onto it and let you think on it. Don't think of a little halo went out, you know. And then begin to speak from it. I like that one time that they showed it down at the Passion Play in Atlanta when they were showing the creation of the world. They've only done it one time because it's copyrighted and they couldn't do it again. That's what we checked in to find out. But it was a beautiful way of expressing it. Because here was just like chaotic, you know, things behind, just like nothing, you know, existing. And all at once a man just steps out. And that man said, let there be. And a world has come into existence, and rocks and trees and things. And he kept creating the man standing there. Alright? Then all at once it just went into a change of a scene. And you know where they started? With the birth of Jesus Christ. A baby started crying and went straight to the birth. Done a wonderful job. But when he come up to his ministry and was standing there at 30 years of age that he started preaching, you know who the man was that was standing on? Was the same man that was standing back there that said, let there be. That's what he's explaining. Moses saw the back part of this man. It's not a little puff or a cloud or this, that, or the other, because God is not that. God is not like the wind. He is a being, the prophet says. He has hands, head, heart, eyes, feet. Man was created in his image. I know that's spiritual. But if it was a spiritual creation of a theophany, and you got a theophany now in your form, then you're still in the form of God. So think back before the world then. That God begins to take off of our eyes the blindness that we couldn't see nothing but just and just comprehend eternal God somewhere. And then out steps the man. Who? Listen to the way I'm saying it. The man Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus steps out to create. Not Jesus the flesh now. See your mind, get it off of there. When I say flesh, I'll say flesh. The man Christ Jesus. That's what Peter said. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He knew who that Christ was. That was the one that led the children of Israel. That was the one that was in Moses that could tell God a better way of doing something. Your prophet said it. But don't think of just nothing existing. God existed alone. He had all the attributes of healer, savior, father, son, Holy Ghost, all that was in him. And for our understanding, a form steps out. A theophany. The same man that Moses saw the back part of, which was the same man that walked on the shores of Galilee. The Lord Jesus Christ. There's your creator. There's your one God without running it into a oneness. But remember, as long as he's over in that form, he can pray back to his Father. Because now we get into Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Let us make man. Who? Trinitarians use that to prove two people. Let us make man. The prophet even brought it down so low one time, he said that was the animals, he was talking to animals how to make you. That's a direct quote. Then they asked him about it and he said, who is that? They said, he said, word and spirit. Father and son. There you got it. Leave that eternal, self-existing, almighty presence of Almighty God in glory. But let him condescend. And when he did, a part of God went out. I told you it wasn't a leg or an arm. It's a statement. You go out in the ocean, you got the whole Atlantic Ocean. Trillions of trillions of trillions of trillions of gallons of water. You take a spoon, you just dip it out, and you take it down, you analyze it. You got the same identical ingredients in that one spoonful as you got in that whole ocean. True? So what happened? Out steps the sun. Now we don't believe in eternal sonship. So it wasn't a son like a second person. He wasn't another god. It wasn't a demon gods or anything. There's where they didn't understand that at the first Nicene Council, and they said that he was a like substance, because that's what they were arguing over, whether Jesus Christ, not the flesh now, because they wouldn't argue at Nicaea over the flesh. They were arguing over whether that Creator was the same one that existed in the beginning. They come up with the idea that he was a substance, like substance. No, he wasn't a like substance. It was part of God stepped over. You say, Brother Dale, you're oneness then. No, because until we make this circle, until we connect back that circle, back from there, because we just stepped out of eternity. Now, I know it's back before the world and eternal and all like that, but I'm just making a statement. Once you stepped out from that circle, once you stepped away from that self-existing and you brought any form whatsoever, you've got to wait until that form goes all the way back. And until that form goes all the way back, it'll be the Son. You've got to deal with it as a Son. And then that way the Son can communicate back with His Father. Jesus wasn't playing no things. Oneness. You ever heard oneness explained? Brother Harris back there can tell you about it. Oneness explained in Jesus was a ventriloquist. That's the way they explain it. That He was a ventriloquist. See, because He was God and He throwed it up into heaven and out come a voice. He was a ventriloquist. He could throw up His voice and it'd come back down and sound like somebody's up there. Well, because they got to explain it, He couldn't be up there and down here. But why can't He be? Why can't you comprehend that the Almighty, as I said, and I've given you quotes on it, and we will get to them later, where that they will be a message of cheer down through the NSA, an eternal partaking of God's Word and revealing God unto us after this world's over with. Don't think your peanut brain is going to exalt Almighty God. Sorry, that just gets on when it does. That gets on me to think that a human element could think that we, as peanut brains as we are, scientists it could be of Einstein. But yet the best you can do, He wouldn't be worth nothing. Because I don't want my mind. I want the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ can bring me a revelation. My human mind will just confuse me. But out of God steps a part of God, which is the same person in another form. As long as He's in that form, He can communicate back. You remember how many times I've tried to explain where the psalmist David said, in the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said unto my Lord. And that's where Jesus stopped him over there with it, didn't he? He said, explain this scripture. That who is the Christ to be? Oh, He's to be the Son of David. He said, well, why did David say in the Spirit? The Lord said unto my Lord. Look that up. The Lord, capital L-O, big R, the big D, Lord. Capital. Said unto my Lord, little L, little O, small R in a reverse D. That's why that Sarah could call Abraham Lord, but it wasn't in capital letters. You remember how I tried my best to explain to you that as long as God is speaking, where it would be God speaking to Abraham or God speaking to Moses, and he'd say, and it'll say there, L-O-R-D in great big letters. So now you have it. There's the Lord. Sorry for human language, I don't have enough. If part of God went out, then there's some part of God that was left that hadn't been revealed to you and me. That's what it's going to be down through eternity, is receiving the revelation of the rest of what He is. I'm sorry, that's just human. I don't have enough education to express no other beautiful words. I just have to say it like it is. If part of God went out, then all of God didn't go out. But now listen to what I'm saying. The compound out of that water or that spoon is the same elements of the whole ocean. When that sun stepped out, that was all of God. But Brother Dale, you just explained there was part of God left. Now let me express something the Lord revealed to me. Years ago I've tried to explain it to you. All that is to be revealed to mankind, all that is to be revealed to you and I while we're on this earth, was placed in Jesus Christ. That's how all God was, He poured into Christ. That's how that all Christ can be poured into the church. And you don't do away with anything, because I'm still talking about my Father in heaven, not my Father in my heart. My Father is in heaven. He's up there and He's talking to the devil right now about, He's trying His best to get permission to get a hold of you. Come on, what is it back there? Where said, asking about Satan, where you been? He said, going to and fro on the earth. When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. He said, have you considered my servant Job? So He's able to get up there and talk with him. He's not in your heart talking with him. You better not put both of them in there at one time. You say, well, how can it be in heaven? Because remember, sin originated in heaven. That was a hard one for me to understand. I don't know about you. When the prophet said sin begun in heaven, when the devil got exalted, that was hard for me to understand. And I still don't say I understand it clearly. Because in the greatest of purity of all things, there's no way none of that could have come out from God, because He couldn't create evil in no way. But there He was, and here comes the devil out exalted, got exalted, and when he got exalted, sin begun in heaven. And one third of the angels believed that lie and was cast out of heaven. And prophets said they come down to earth to enter you and me and cause us to turn away from God. Then we've got 200,000 demons loosed in the last days that was even bound until about 1940 in the natural to the Jews in there somewhere where it was released. And he said in 20 years later released on the bride to drive her to the message of the hour. Oh, I'm having so much problems. I'm having troubles. I just can't hardly exist. You ought to be hollering amen. You ought to be hollering glory, hallelujah, for all the troubles, because God thinks enough of me to turn the devil loose on me. He's got enough confidence in you, Sister Gail, He turned the devil loose on you and let him work on you. But instead of that, oh, wicked Lord, now why am I in this trouble? What have I done? What's my problem? It didn't say Job done anything wrong, did it? God was bragging on him. Your sickness may be the fact that can bring you to God if you'll do it correctly. Right over there sits one. Danny always has been a great guy. He's always been a good man. I've known him a long time. You see, when God allowed things to come down on that human body, instead of Danny running the other way, he run to the Lord. And then he's found the Lord through that. And probably if you ask him right now under that statement I just made, you'd say, Danny, would you fall off that chicken house again? He said, no, I'd jump. I would jump because it's brought me to the Lord. See, let the sicknesses be that away. It's on there to bring you to God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord leadeth out of them all. God is proud, the prophet said, to be able to say to the devil, get on him and see what you can do with him. He's proud of that. Sometimes I'm not proud of it, because I don't like to hurt, do you? But you never call me and ask me how I'm doing. I don't care how bad I'm hurting it. I don't make this statement, all is well. I was real sick one time right after leaving the Baptist church. A deacon in the church there, a friend of mine, he's my brother-in-law's brother, and we'd always been real good brothers in the Lord, you know. He come to the house, and we got to talking, and I mean, I was just like that. I didn't have no voice. I didn't have nothing. You know, I was sick. You know, I was just, all it was gone out, and I couldn't even talk. And he got to talking, and I got to talking about the Lord. And after a while, man, I was up just talking, going away. He said, I thought you were sick. I got away from my sickness and got to talk about the Lord. He'll take care of a lot of things. All right, let's get on. But listen, out steps a part of God. But the part of God, please get this, there is the all of God. In the days of Martin Luther, the message of the just shall live by faith was all of God being revealed in that day. Sanctification wouldn't be revealed. The baptism of the Holy Ghost wouldn't be revealed. The seals wouldn't be revealed. The plagues, the thunders, they wouldn't be revealed, right? So God was that happy to reveal that, and it was perfect. I told you all those messages back there is a background for what I'm trying to bring. See, partial realization brings us to perfect realization. Out of God stepped a part of God, which was God in another form, called a son. And that son begins to create. As he begins to create, then he's showing himself in the creation, right? He's displaying himself through and showing himself in the creation. All right? So what does it come out to be? The Son of God was the first form that went out of God. The first immorphy. God stepped over into the Son in a form called a son. That's not Trinitarianism. That's the same God. But it's only part of God. But now, I just don't understand that, because you say he's the fullness and then you say he's part. And you just get a revelation. If I was you, I'd go pray about that. Now you'll leave saying, I just don't understand. He just confuses me. Because he says first that he's all of God, then he says he's part of God. Well, you come on and preach it. Let me write down a couple of things up here the prophet said, and you come and preach it. I'm not being arrogant or hateful. Well, the best way to do, Brother Dale, is just make it real simple and just say, God just stepped out in another form. And he just stepped 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 into us, and that's the end of it all. Well, if that's what you need, I just said it. I just said it. If that's the simplicity you need. But to me, I like to understand a little more than just a statement. I like for something to be revealed. But you see, when that sonship stepped out, it was a man. The man, Christ Jesus. Because when I say Christ Jesus, I'm not talking about the flesh. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Almighty God. His name is God. Christ is the anointing. But see, when he stepped out, he started a journey. Now, one day, because I know I'm not going to get very far, so it doesn't bother me. This is well and over the message. But turn over in 1 Corinthians 15. So we got to make the circle. Where is it? Yeah. 15, verse 26. While you're turning, we'll just start reading and we get down to it. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under his feet. That word accepted is a hard understanding of any form. I've run ever Greek thing I can run on it. I've run every form I can get on it. It sounds like it's saying that he is accepted. It doesn't say accepted. That's A-C-C-E-P-T-E-D. It says here he is accepted. E-X-C-E-P-T-E-D. Alright. Now this is the best thing I can come up with. It is manifest that he is Almighty God. Because who could have paid the price? Who could have done all the things? When he saith all things are put under him, it is manifested. What? That the circle is made. Because that's what's taking place. Because look, we did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. See, when this circle is completed, You're going to see that theophany, logos form is the last thing that happens, and then it'll just step right back into the self-existing. And when we do, we'll see him, and his name is Jesus, and we'll see him and know who he is. By revelation, that'll take place to you and I before right at the rapture. By reality, it'll be in the future home. Brother Brown uses this verse scripture. One time he uses it for the millennium, page 67, Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. He talks about all in all being there. And then in the other time he preaches, that's Christ the Mystery 67 for the millennium, and page 55, future home for the new city, that God may be all in all. See, when all is done, all will be made new. You remember what we were on, the new name? The prophet said that your name was maybe the name that was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Said it may be known when you get there. See, when all things are new, then everything will be new. Then Jesus can have a new name. But it'll be made known when we're in glory. Oh, it's got to be made known where it'll be the change. Okay, that's fine if that's what God chooses to do. Because we're going to get a revelation to change us. Something's going to change us. It's not hair and dress and clothes. I'll guarantee you that one thing. If we can't get over that stuff, then we're not even Christians. Don't fool yourself. See? But now listen. The Son himself also, just shall the Son him also himself be subject unto him. That's not doing away with it. That's when the sonship is not needed anymore in existence of redemption. And when it is, it goes right back to where it come from. That's why he's the beginning of the creation of God, and we're the rest of that creation. Because when he comes down and goes, makes that circle and go back, we go back with him. Because we're also a part of God. I'm not the fullness of God. You're not the fullness of God. Brother Branham wasn't the fullness of God. He was a part of God, called a son. When this is finished, you and I go back to where we were before the world ever begun, which was back in, not into God's mind. You can't take God's mind and make that scripture that I just quoted to you a moment ago. Where were you when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy? You say, well, that's just God in his mind thinking about us. A whole lot more than that. He knew our name and wrote it in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. You say, Brother Dale, that's pre-existence. Exactly right. Pre-existence of the sons and daughters of a living God, not pre-existence of that garbage can we call flesh. Not pre-existence of me or you and human flesh. But pre-existence of the eternal life that come out of God. Because all sons are a part of God. There'll never be a time that the sonship will be terminated, because when we get there, we will be the sons and daughters of a living God. And when we see him, we'll know who he is. Because see that part that stepped out. Now there's the whole message. You can sleep this afternoon or Wednesday night. That's the whole message. The rest of it just be proving it. Proving it by what the prophet said. Because when you start from eternity, time is a space made in eternity. And anytime you talk about beginning, ever what begins got to end. When it said in the beginning was the Word, that meant something started. But when it ends, it'll go right back. That's why the seventh seal is the end of all things, not end like you run into a wall. When all things is made new, the seventh seal is the end of all things. The prophet said it's the end of the millennium. It's the end of the white throne judgment. He's talking about the seventh seal. Why? Because it is when all things are made new. He said, but that seven's a number. That won't work. The seven is complete. When you complete something, you've reproduced it. Because that's what the Lord showed me years ago. The end of all things. Go home and look up the word end and see if it don't mean reproduction. Reproduction. When something is reproduced, you've ended the object. Why? Because you reproduced it back in the original form. When this circle is finished, that there you got the self-existing Elohim coming down, manifesting himself through Son, down through the Old Testament as the Christ, down into human flesh, walking upon the earth, and then begins to make his circle. And as it does, he picks up you and I to finish the circle. Because that one that we call Jesus Christ, the body's laying on the throne, the soul and spirit is here upon the earth to lead us. And when the finish is finished, then that body and we will meet in the air, and it'll all be finished in eternity. The sonship don't terminate like doing away. But when you make the circle, you realize who he is. And you make the circle from eternity and go to the eternal circle back, and then you see one God. Without it being oneness, without it being Trinity. But you get what I'm talking about. As long as you're in this earth, as long as you're a child of God in this earth, as long as Jesus, we talk about him being the Christ, then remember, he can pray back to his Father. You pray to your Father, don't you? Don't you pray to your Father? Abby Gray, scream it out. Amen. Nobody else ain't. Listen. Sonship has to terminate somewhere. Not terminate like do away with. That's where we get that on our minds. It's not doing away with it. It's when you bring everything back together. All right, we got 10 minutes. I'll do this and we'll redo it again. Over and over till you see it. Doesn't bother me. Think on these things. What I said was, Brother Joe and I were talking about, we ought to video this one probably. Because people on tape can't understand what I'm doing. I'm using some cups. So if we take all these cups and we put them all together, there's God and all of his attributes. Every attribute would ever be displayed was in him when he was self-existing. There's no air, no molecule, no nothing. Not even a sun. It was eternal, everlasting, self-existing, almighty God. But in him dwelt Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In him dwelt every attribute that God would ever have was in him in the beginning. He didn't gain an attribute coming down to earth. He displayed attributes when he came on earth. All of it's there. You say, though, brother, be careful. Your oneness, that's one true and living God. All right? What happened? Out came a part of God. The Son. To be able to create. A part of God. I still got 4 more cups sitting over here. That's what I want you to see. We may have too many sitting here because I may use 4 and not 5, but it's according to how it works out. But there are still many cups left. So don't worry about exhausting God and thinking that all God was, there's oneness. All God was, he poured in Christ. You have nothing back here to talk about is anything to communicate with. You don't have Jesus talking to anybody else. You have him a ventriloquist throwing his voice up into the sky and letting it come back down. It won't work. All God was, he poured into Christ. Them things is sticking to me. He created all things. Brother Branham said God's first creation was God. He said then out of there came the Son. See, then there was the Christ. Down through the Old Testament, all the things. But just remember that we can pick up in the Old Testament now. This side over here, middle podium, this is Old Testament. This is the New Testament. We can bring out the Father. Because that's who he was. We can bring out the fact that he could be Father and could be healer and could be deliverer, but you're going to have to wait till Calvary before it's finished. So I choose not to bring it that way. See? Just leave it like it is. Until Calvary, that's when he really became Brother Harris likes that when Brother Brown said, when he becomes son of man, that's when he becomes father. Because he's the son of man over this generation of people. Right? But see, there's the Christ that went all the way through the Old Testament. That could tell God a better way of doing it. There's David. When David said, the Lord, holding up the many cups, said unto my Lord, the one cup, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. That was the psalmist David. Right. You see, when it all come down then on earth came a man, Jesus. When that man was born, the Christ came in him, the Holy Ghost came in him, because he was one God. Brother Branham said in spirit, he was God that directed the children of Israel in the Old Testament. Message called faith. Then he says that in soul he was God. So you got body, spirit, and soul standing on earth. Now here to make it come out that we'll be correct in numbers that you're looking at the cups. See, then here stands that human flesh, and there come Father, Son, and Holy Ghost down into human flesh when he was first born. Right. I'm running out. I got to do something else. I'm going to use one more cup now to where this thing won't run out. All right. I'm just trying to illustrate it because a picture is a whole lot better than many words a lot of times. So on the River Jordan, the anointing came. Here still stands the eternal self-existing. There's all of God that will ever be revealed on earth. That's what he's talking about when he said all of God poured into Christ and all of Christ poured into the church. That's all that will ever be made known on this earth is the all of God. But what happened then? Soul went to hell. Spirit went back to God who gave it. Body went to the grave. Anointing had done left him in the garden. But what happened on the resurrection? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost come back in the body. Made a resurrection. The anointing, which was the Holy Ghost, didn't come back until the day of Pentecost. But you still got God, because this is only dealing in a partial realization. The day of Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost come, made him Son of God. Come down through seven church ages. In the end time, he's to come back with the anointing that was on him on the River Jordan. But that's in bride form. There is the church ages that we've been in. There is the Revelations 1 that we've been in. There's the bride with the anointing in the end time that left Jesus in the garden. According to Malachi 4, the prophet said, anointing is to strike. Because what it's going to do, it's going to bring all of it back to our understanding. It's going to bring Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the anointings, the Christ, the whole. All in all. And when it's finished, and a rapture takes place, you're going right back. The circle is made. The circle is made, and that's not oneness. Because as long as it's down here anywhere, that Son will communicate with his Father. Because that's who this is when it comes here. The Son of God in the church. Like unto the Son of Man, because we become the Word, the anointing, the thing. But when we go back, that God may be all in all. Won't do away. I didn't do away with nothing. I still have everything here in these cups that I used to start with. That's one God. Without it being a oneness, and without it being a Trinity. You just let God immorphy and change His form. We are the life form on earth of the Almighty God. When it's finished in the life form that you and I are, we go back to where we were before the foundation of the world. When we sang together about the plan of redemption. Now that's what Brother Branham said. He says about it, and I'll be glad to find these for you. I've got it written in my Bible, where it says the morning stars sang together, the sons of God shouted for joy. He said, when they seen the plan of redemption. See, before the world we seen was going to make this circle, we shouted. When we return back, what do you think it's going to be? Not oneness and not Trinity, but the revelation of one God. The rest will just be proving it by the prophet. Try to show us who we are and what we're doing. I don't see how that could be any more simple in my life. But it takes a revelation. Let's stand. Anybody have a need? We no need of no come to musicians, nothing. Just anybody has a need, it's 12 o'clock. I'm sorry. Let's just sing I Love Him. If anybody has a need, we don't never want to leave without giving an altar call. I love you. You have a need? Because He first loved me and purchased my salvation. Come and let's believe on God. Our brother has problems with his legs. We believe God is a healer, don't we? Father, the one that I have spoken of, truly our Father, is God. And there is no other. You are the healer, you're the deliverer. And Father, in our revelation, we can go all the way around and come right back into eternity and not lose nothing. We love you, Father. By your stripes, our brother is healed. In Jesus' name. Just believe it. Believe it and see. He loved you. Because he friend of Hope, the mother, got thyroid cancer. And we're going to pray here, but we're going to all pray together. We're going to send a prayer cloth, and we believe it. By His stripes, He's healed. We believe it because that's what we're asking. We're asking our Father. Don't ever get in your mind it's not the will or God to heal unless God tells you it's not His will to heal. Now, if He wants you to know it, He'll tell you it's not His will. But until then, you don't never think it's not God's will to heal. It doesn't matter how bad the person is. It doesn't make no difference who they are, whether they're Christian or whatever it is. It makes no difference whatsoever with God when you're talking about healing. So let's believe it. Amen. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we send this prayer cloth. And we expect to hear the results. Because the bride of Jesus Christ is calling. We love you, Father, and we thank you. By your stripes, this person is healed in Jesus' name. Anybody else? I love you. I love you. Our brother's hurting. In his back when he was hurting the way he was before. Alright. You believe? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we can't heal our brother. We would do anything we could to try to help him, taking his pain away from him. But that would not do him any good. But Father, we remember how our back has hurt so much. Not in the capacity of our brother has, but hurt us so bad. We can sympathize with our brother about back trouble. Many here in the building, Lord, can sympathize with him. We just ask you, Father, to take away this hurting. We condemn it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we've spoken about. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Just think about him. He's all in all. And when we get into glory, don't worry about it. You're not going to forget about being on earth. Right? You won't forget about being here. The sorrow will be gone. Father, you know our sister's heart. You know what she desires, Father. We love you. We thank you. We just commit it into your hands, and be it unto her according to how our faith is. And we put our faith with her to believe that what she has a need of is already finished. In Jesus' name. Go and believe. Anybody else before we go? You love him? Think about it. Pray about it. Say, Lord, what's this man talking about? Reveal yourself to me. He's not a respecter of persons. He'll reveal himself. He'll show himself. And just keep on keeping on. Right? Father, bless the people as we go eat a natural meal. Bring us back together this afternoon in your loving grace, in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Take the name of Jesus with you.